Everyone, hope you have had a good week and look forward to the week that lies ahead. And let's pray and we'll get into our lesson. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn. We're in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 this morning. My lesson tells me that I need to, well, actually I'm a week behind as far as our book is concerned. But my lesson says that I need to cover all of chapter 17 and 18, and we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to take just a little smaller portion of chapter 17 and look at some important facts here that will apply to everyone, something a little tough to live by, but we'll look at some important things here. Luke 17 is where we'll be this morning, and we'll pray here. And then we'll jump into our lesson this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this special time that we have. And Lord, it is a special time as we come together as your people. And Lord, as we unite together, we pray for your blessings upon all that is said and done here today. We do pray for our Sunday school time, that you would bless, that you would guide, lead, and direct, and help us as we study and learn. And Lord, as we focus in on your word, we just pray for your help. We pray for your blessing this morning. We pray for our service this morning and our service this evening. We pray for Brother Richardson again, that you would bless him, that you would protect him. But, Lord, I pray that you guide, lead, and direct him today as he preaches to us. We pray that you help us to open up our hearts and minds to what you have for us from your word today. And, God, I pray that we'll do more than just that, that we'll take what we learn, and that, Lord, that we will take it and put it to practice in our everyday life that we live. We do pray for our church. We pray for any needs that our church may have, that you would help and supply those. Lord, we also, as we weekly are reminded of the our missionaries that we support, we just pray for them this morning, that you would bless them in a special way. Lord, I pray that you would help them, bless them, supply their needs today. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost this morning. We pray for them, that you would help us to be, Lord, maybe that good witness or that good testimony that is needed in their life. Help them to see their need of salvation. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to, Lord, to set the good example, to be that good witness, that good testimony unto them, that they would see their need of salvation. And, Lord, I pray that they would be saved before it's eternally too late. We pray for those that are sick, that are not well. We pray for those who are maybe in the hospital, those who have maybe upcoming surgery. We pray for them, that you would bless them, help them, and supply their needs. And then, Lord, also those who maybe have spiritual needs this morning, we pray that you would supply those and meet those needs this morning as well. We do pray for your blessings upon our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. All right, we got our clock going, and so we'll keep up with the time there. Luke chapter 17, we're going to find here. The past few weeks we've been looking at Jesus Christ, as he has been giving some different parables to different groups. As we have mentioned for several weeks, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry would draw large crowds. He was a very popular person. Everybody wanted to meet him. Everybody wanted to maybe see him, maybe to hear him teach, to hear him preach. Many came to him wanting to be healed of him. So he would often draw large crowds of people, and as we were looking last week, there were times that he would speak a parable unto the crowd, and then there were times that he would direct them directly at his disciples or his followers that were very close to him. And so his ministry was had many facets to it. Of course, he came to save the world, but also he had to build a fellowship that would follow after him, that would take the work that he establishes and to spread it around the world. So he was challenged daily, I guess, to address the needs of the people, to preach the word of God, but then also to direct a lot of his time and attention to his disciples as well. And we're going to find here this morning that he is directing his attention now to his disciples, because in verse number 1 of chapter 17, it says, "Then said he unto the disciples." All right, so you have to be careful sometimes when you're reading your Bible, that you got to understand the context of where
the setting and why Christ is saying what he is saying. Who is he? Who's he talking to? Who's he addressing? Who's he working with? And here we find now that he's turned his attention to his disciples. Even though there's other people maybe in the crowd, there may be other people around, but here we find that he focuses in on the disciples. Now, as you read down through the chapter, we're not going to read all the chapter, you've got to understand what he is addressing here, all right? So you've got to understand that. For instance, in your Bible, you'll probably have different, in a chapter, you have chapter divisions, then you have verse divisions, and then also sometimes you'll have in between some verses a little statement that the printer put in there, kind of helping you to understand and dividing it out, but don't read into that and get lost into just thinking. Sometimes it's easy to read a chapter and it seems kind of choppy. It seems like it's changing tones, it's changing subject, it's changing direction, but it's not really. It's all directed at a point, all right? So keep that in mind. He's talking to the disciples here, and it's interesting what he has to say here. Here he goes, verse number one, it is impossible that the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. And there is an explanation point, right? Sometimes we kind of, we don't really understand, or we kind of miss a little bit of the importance of a verse. Not that one is more important than the other, but there is an explanation point there. So you have to realize the tone in which Jesus is speaking here. He's pretty aggressive here. He is pretty, maybe a little loud when he speaks here. And he's making a statement here. And if we're not careful, we'll read over verse number one. And there's so much here that we must understand just in verse number one before you even go through the rest of the chapter. So he begins here in verse number one and basically says here, he does say, I should say, in verse number one, it is impossible, he says here, but that offenses will come. All right? So you just mark it down. Christ is saying it is impossible to avoid this. None of you will be excluded. It will come to every single one of you. What's going to happen? He's basically saying you better get ready for it. There's no way around it. It's going to happen. Offenses will come unto you. Now, as a follower of Christ this morning, we need to understand it's going to happen in life. Offenses will come to you. And by the way, Jesus had more in mind here than merely maybe having someone's feelings hurt. It goes much deeper than that. This is a very, very, very important verse for us this morning because as a believer, as you strive to live for Christ, there will be offenses that are going to come to you. They're going to happen. It's impossible to get around it, Christ says here. It is impossible to avoid it. It is impossible to live the Christian life and not have some offenses come unto you. Now, we've got to understand this word offense. What does that mean? Well, we get our English word this morning, scandal, from this word. The word offense here, and you might want to make a note here or maybe write in your Bible here, an offense is anything. Here's a good definition. An offense is anything that causes a person to trip, to stumble, to fall, or to be ensnared. Now, all of these are going to come at you. By the way, the devil's going to make sure they come to you. You see, the devil this morning would love to take every believer here this morning to trip us up, to ensnare us, to cause us to trip, to cause us to stumble, to cause us to fall. That's what the devil's purpose in his life for you this morning is. That's his goal. That's his ambition for your life. He wants you as a believer to fall. He wants you to stumble. He wants you to be entrapped or ensnared in life. The devil this morning, he doesn't want you to be prosperous. He doesn't want you to go forward. He doesn't want you to gain strength this morning. He wants you to fall this morning. Now, it goes a lot further than that. You'll find also in this life that we live, the world wants you to stumble. The world wants you to fall. The world wants you to trip up and not be successful in life. So there's many obstacles that will lie ahead of us because offenses will come to us this morning. We find this morning that, and by the way, as we get a little bit further here in the next verse, I would say that we have to be careful. And let's look at verse number one again. He says unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. So what's Christ saying? He is saying that offenses will come in your life. You're going to have a lot of opportunity to fall. You're going to have a lot of opportunity to be ensnared in life. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to trip up and to go backwards in your Christian life and not forward in your Christian life. I think we would all agree this morning, it's easy to go backwards spiritually in life. It's hard to go forward in our spiritual life. There's many opportunities to go down the wrong path of life, so to speak. So Christ is saying these offenses, they're going to come. It's impossible to avoid them. But he goes on in verse number one and he says, but woe unto him through whom they come. And then there's an explanation point. Now, Christ here is going a little further here. I guess I should say that we have to be careful that we don't fall or get entrapped when offenses come. But then also we have to be extra careful that we don't become someone who actually becomes a stumbling block to someone else. You see, this morning, even though you may be a child of God, you can also become a stumbling block for another believer. It has nothing to do whether you're saved or lost here. Lost people can be a stumbling block, or even saved people can be a stumbling block. And leading a person into sin may be perhaps the greatest offense of all. I don't know of anything any more damaging than when a believer leads another believer into sin. Or for that matter, even a lost person. It applies, I think, to both here. It doesn't matter whether you're saved or lost. Christ is saying here, woe unto him, in verse number one, through whom they come. What Christ is saying is, you just make sure you're not the one that is the offense. And it's very easy to be an offense. Now, let me ask you something. Is he talking to lost people or saved people here? He's talking to saved people. Why? Because he's talking unto the disciples. And he basically tells the disciples, listen, there's a fact about life. Offenses are going to come. It's impossible to avoid them. But he says unto them, but boy, you make sure you're not the one that's causing the offense. Explanation point. You read into it whatever you want to, but I believe that Christ, I believe his voice is elevated. I believe that you see the seriousness on the face of Jesus Christ. I think that as you read verse number one, Christ means business about what he's saying here. It's pretty interesting here that Christ addresses this issue with the disciples here, and he's making sure that they understand the importance of overcoming offenses, but boy, you better make sure, woe unto him that is the one that causes the offense. Because it's easy for us to be an offense to another brother and sister in Christ. So, well, I would never do anything like that. Hey, we're all flesh this morning. Sometimes we may do something, not intentionally, but we do something in life that causes a brother or sister to, that we become all of a sudden an offense to them. We may not mean to. There are times where, I know we're not going to agree with this, but there are times when we deliberately do things sometimes. And Christ says, you better be very careful that you're not one of these people. Now, if you don't think Christ is serious, you get to verse number two. Look at verse number two. He says, it were better for him. Now, him is talking about someone who becomes an offense to another brother or sister in Christ. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck
and cast into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, I'm going to go backwards in the verse. Little ones, evidently, there's some children around. I personally believe he's talking about maybe a child, a young person, maybe a teenager. That's going to apply to any age. I mean, age doesn't exempt you out of this problem here. Here's the problem. Christ says, as a believer, offenses are going to come in life. But you better make sure that you're not one that causes the offense in a brother or sister's Christ in Christ's life. You make sure you're not one that becomes the problem. The one that causes a brother or sister to trip up or to fall or to be ensnared into sin. And woe unto him that would lead a brother or sister in Christ into sin. And especially, you better not offend one of these little ones in verse number 2. Now, Christ basically said that it would be better for you that if we took a millstone. Now, a millstone was a very large stone wheel that was usually pulled by a donkey or another animal of that nature in a circle that would actually take and crush grain into powder. A very large, very heavy stone. Now, Jesus put it this way. If you're going to offend one of these little ones, we would be better off if we took this large millstone, tied it to your neck, throw you in the sea, and watch you go blub, blub. To watch you drown. Christ says, I'd rather that happen to you than offend one of these little ones. Now, I don't know about you, but I think Christ is pretty serious about this. To what degree of a problem it was in that day and time, I would guess it was a problem. Evidently, there was some problems with those that were, quote, followers of Christ that were not maybe setting the right example or not leading people down the path of righteousness, but yet leading them down the path of sin. And Christ here is addressing this, and it's a twofold problem. Number one, offenses are going to come, he says in verse number one. It's impossible to get around it. But he says, but you as a follower, a disciple of mine, he said, you make sure that you're not the problem. Because if you're the problem, I'd rather tie this millstone around your neck, throw you out of the sea, and drown your sorry self. Now, I use the word sorry. It's not in there. I'm kind of adding to it. But I do find here that Christ is very adamant here. He's very determined to get the point across. And he's going to get the point across. We're not to it yet, but you'll find in verse number 5 that when Christ gets done with these disciples, in 4 verses, they basically say, oh, Lord, increase our faith. Let me tell you why they need some faith, because they're afraid they're going to go blub, blub. You see, this morning, you find how serious just the 4 first verses of chapter 17 are. And how that as a believer and follower of Christ, we must make sure that we don't do anything in our life that would be an offense or entrapment to someone or to lead someone down the wrong path or to ensnare them in sin or lead them down a path of sin. And it's so serious, Christ says, we'd be better off to drown you than let you do something like that, especially with one of these little ones. Now, this is a little bit out of the way here, but it's interesting in the ministry that Christ had here on this earth how often he would use children as an example. And how important they were to Jesus Christ. And there's, you know, we could speculate why he put such an emphasis on children. But we could give a lot of different reasons of why. But it's, you know, some things are very obvious. I mean, children are the future.
They are children will be the next pastors, evangelists, missionaries, church members, deacons, Sunday school teachers, faithful member, tither, helper, whatever you want to call it. I mean, children, that's what's going to replace us when we fall off the scene, if you would, or die off, I guess I should say. Children are very important. And I believe this, I believe every church ought to realize the importance of children and instructing them and leading them, but not only just teach them in a class, but setting the example before them. Do you understand and realize how important verse number one and verse number two are? Now, verse one and two is going to set the whole trend, if you would, or the whole mood of the entire chapter. It's all about, as a follower, a disciple of Christ, you just mark it down, offenses are going to come your way. Now, you know, and we can't use the old, you know, well, the devil made me do it. The devil never made anybody do anything. The reason you went into sin is because you choose to go into sin. You know, it's a, and adults are not much different than children, but it's amazing. Children, you know, they get in trouble. Why'd you do that? Well, so-and-so, you know, was doing it. And that's not an excuse. I mean, you choose to, if you do wrong, it's because you choose to do wrong. And Christ is saying here, you just need to go ahead and write it down. It's going to happen. Offense is going to happen in your life. You make sure you're not the one that's causing the offense. You make sure you're not the one that's causing someone to stumble or trip or to fall or to be ensnared or to be that stumbling block or that offense. You make sure you're not that person. Because if you offend one of these little ones, he says here, I'd rather watch you drown in the deepest sea than to offend one of these little ones. It's interesting here. He says in verse number three here, he says, take heed to yourself, he said here. Let's look at verse number three. Take heed to yourself, all right? You watch yourself. To take heed to yourself means to be, you better be on your guard, Christ says here. Because if you're not careful, you'll allow an offense to come into your life and trip you up or cause you to fall or cause you to be ensnared in life. And before you know it, you'll be off into the world. Have you ever found people that once were faithful to God, faithful to church, loved God, served God, and now, I mean, they don't care anything about God. They no longer attend church. They don't want to even have anything to do with God. I mean, we all know somebody like that. What happened? Somewhere in life, now it's not always because someone offended them or was an offense to them or led them down the wrong path. I still go back to the fact they chose to go down that path. But, you know, I don't want to do anything in my life that would cause someone else to quit on God or quit church or throw in the towel or not wanting to have anything to do with God anymore. And I've got to be careful that I'm not that person in life. And he says in verse number three, he's talking to the disciples here. He says, take heed to yourselves. He says, you be on guard. And he says this, if thy brother trespass against thee, all right, talking about another brother here, trespasses against you. He's an offense in your life. He says here, against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now, there's several steps here that you've got to understand. He's telling the disciples, if you have another brother that is an offense to you, here's how you resolve the problem. Number one, you go to him and you rebuke him. You tell him he's wrong. Now, I'm going to just stop right here and just make a few statements right here. I think you have to be careful in how you do that. I think you need to, you know, you need to be spiritual about that matter. But if somebody, another brother or sister in Christ is causing offense and it could possibly be leading someone into sin, then that person needs to be addressed. All right? You rebuke him. Now, I'm just going to say real quickly here, very few Christians can ever take rebuking. Listen, most Christians this morning do not like to be told no. It's amazing how many people will get mad and leave church because the preacher said no. What do you mean? Well, who does he think he is? Well, I hate to say it, but he's the pastor. You know, sometimes church members have a hard time understanding this. There's only one pastor in this church, and he's wearing a blue shirt, and he sits right over there. Now, this is really going to shock you, and you're not him. Now, there's a lot of people that think they're the pastor. Now, I know none of us would be that way. We're talking about all those folks that didn't come this morning. But most believers do not like to be told no. They don't like to be told we're not going to do that. For whatever reason, you know, you got an idea. The pastor doesn't think it's a good idea. You know how you solve that? Well, bless God, I'll just leave and go to another church. That's why people hop around from church to church to church to church. Most church hoppers are doing that because they just can't be somebody that just can't accept the word no. You'll find here that he says in verse number 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And we ain't even got to that yet. This is, the word rebuke is basically you're telling that person what they've done wrong. Now let's stop here for just a moment. That's going to be kind of tough to do, and it's going to be very tough to accept because most believers do not like to be told they've done wrong. Now, Christ says it's serious enough of a problem that if a brother, he says in verse number 3 that if a brother trespass against thee, the first thing you do is you go to him and tell him, you know what? I find that's offensive to me. Or you need to be very careful about doing that because that could cause a person to do this, or it can cause a person to go into sin, or it could cause a person to quit or to get out of the ministry or quit the church or whatever the case may be. Now, there's not much. I will say this, when Christ gives these steps here, he gives that statement and he moves on. He doesn't spend a lot of time on that, okay? So go back to verse number 3. He says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, here's what you do. You rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now, that's the best case scenario right there. You go to someone, and man, I don't know what kind of an example I could use this morning. Let's say that Brother Jay decides that he's going to go off and start drinking, partying, living it up, and smoking dope and all kinds of stuff, all right? And that's offensive to me. And he's a deacon in our church. I'll use an example. I remember years and years ago, there was a couple that came to our church and had left the church and came to ours. And he was very involved in this church and so forth. This church hired a youth director and so forth. Had been there for a little while. And they went out to eat on one night with the youth director and his wife. They went to Pizza Hut and ate. And when he ordered beer. And he felt like that was an offense. Now, I would be offended by that. Now, I go to him and I tell him, hey, man, this is not right. I mean, you can't do this. I mean, this here can cause a lot of problems. It's going to cause a lot of misunderstanding. It can cause people to go down the wrong path. It could lead people into sin and so forth. And you know what? You need to stop that. Now, Christ says here, if he repents of it, I am responsible to do what to him after that? I'm to do what? forgive him. Now, believe it or not, Christ is going to spend a lot of time on this forgiveness thing. Now, Christ is talking to who? Who's he talking to in this chapter? He's talking to whom? He's talking to the disciples. He says offenses are going to come. They're going to happen in your life. You better be on guard. You better have your eyes open. You better be ready for it, prepared for it, because offenses are going to come. Secondly, but more than that, you better make sure you're not the one that's causing the offense, because if I find out you offend one of these little ones, I'd rather we take this millstone, wrap it around your neck, take you out to the deepest part of the sea, and throw you overboard and watch bubbles come up. Now, if you have a brother trespass against you, Christ says here, you go to him, you work this thing out, you bring it to the forefront here, and if he makes it right, or if he repents here in verse number 3, then I am responsible in return to forgive him. So out of all this, now Christ is going to spend a lot of time on this forgiveness thing. Now, you take it for what it's worth, and it's not worth very much. I just feel like when Christ kind of hammers away at something, it's probably because there's a problem with it. It's pretty amazing here that in all these problems that Christ is discussing here, he's going to spend quite a bit of time now on this forgiveness thing. Let me tell you why. Because we as believers have a hard time forgiving people. There are people that sit in churches today that still carrying a grudge around from something that happened 20 years ago. And they're still to this day a little bitter about it. Let me tell you why. They've never learned how to forgive. We'll move on here, all right? So he basically says here in verse number 3, if that person repents, he gets it right, takes care of it, then you are to forgive him in verse number 3. Verse number 4, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turning again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, it doesn't mean if he does it the 8th time, you don't forgive him. What Christ is saying is, it doesn't matter how many times it happens in a day, if that individual repents and gets it right or whatever, you're to forgive him that many times. Everybody understand, right? Well, that's not too bad. I mean, I'm a forgiving person. Are we really? You know, I find that very often in life, people have a very, very hard time forgiving. Forgiving. I've said it many times here, but it's amazing. We love to sing and preach and teach, and boy, we can amen a preacher when he talks about how God is a forgiving God. But you know, in return, Christ expects you to be just as forgiving. Christ says, it doesn't matter how many times it happens a day. I don't care if it happens 1 time a day, or if it happens 2 times, or let's say it happens 5 times a day, if it happens 7 times a day. You are to continually forgive him. Now, I think we would all agree here this morning that as we find here in verse number 4, you have to notice here the unlimited nature of this forgiveness here. Now, the problem with that is forgiveness does not come naturally. It's not something you just naturally have in your life. Now, you may say, well, if I don't have it naturally, how am I going to be able to forgive over and over and over and over and over? And Christ says, I'm glad you asked. How are you going to accomplish something like this? How are you going to survive life when offenses come to you in life? How are you going to survive when you are the one that has been offensive and a brother or sister has come to you and challenged you about that? Number one, what's your response going to be? Well, who does she think she is? Well, who made him king? Or you humbly say, you know what, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing, or or you know what, that would be the correct response. But I'm just going to be honest with you, and I guess this is where me kind of being a little bit negative in life, that doesn't happen very often. Okay, let's say something happens in a church. God help us and hope it never happens in a church. But let's just say in our church this morning that somebody does something to damage the cause of Christ or to hurt the testimony of our church in some way. And let's just say, and I hope it never happens, but Brother Richardson had to go to them and say, hey man, you can't do that. That person gets mad and says, I'll tell you how I'll respond to it. I'll go down the road and be a blessing to them for a while. Church member says, Brother Richardson, you know, what's he trying to do? He's trying to run everybody off. And I'm not saying this is always the case. Listen to me, I'm not saying it's always the case. But sometimes, and I have to be careful how I say this, sometimes it is for the good of the cause of Christ for so-and-so to leave and go be a blessing to somebody else. You know what I mean? Because if they're going to stay here and be offensive, and they're going to offend one of these little ones, Christ says, hey, you'd be better off if you go drown. But if that person says, you know what, I apologize, I am so sorry, I did not mean to be a stumbling block to you or an offense to you or cause you to trip or stumble or question or doubt or whatever the case may be, and I apologize. You, in response, has to be the one that is willing to forgive. And if it happens two times a day, I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, we're okay maybe with forgiving once. I give them twice, but you know the old saying, three strikes, you're out. Christ says, you're never out. You keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. All right, we'll move on. And he's going to tell you how you're going to do that. He says in verse number 4, and if you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and in seven times in a day, he turn to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Verse number 5, the disciples or the apostles here, they finally speak up. And here's what they say. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Do you know why they asked Jesus Christ to increase their faith? Because to live this kind of a life, it's going to take a whole lot of faith. You know, do you ever find things offensive in life? I would dare say before the day ends, something in this life's going to be offensive to me. It's hard to go to Walmart and not be offensive, or somebody be offensive. I was in Lowe's yesterday, and to be honest with you, I was kind of offended at the way people act just out in public. I'm kind of to the point where I'm just a little bit fed up and tired of hearing everybody cuss all the time everywhere I go. I mean, nobody has any respect for anybody anymore. I was in Lowe's yesterday, and there's two guys there talking, and they're just talking like normal. Everybody can hear, and one guy's just cussing left and right. There's women around. There's children around. That bothers me. Now, I don't think it should do it if it's just men around. But, I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot of things in life that are offensive to a believer. Now, let me say this real quickly. I should have maybe given this at the very beginning. What's offensive to a believer is probably not going to be very offensive to a lost person. Can I say this morning that I'm tired? If you ever try to watch any kind of television, you better have mute. I'm so sick of the commercials that scumbags are running on television. And I mean, it is so horrible, I can't even speak about it in mixed company this morning. And it's on television, just left and right, commercial after commercial after commercial. Do you know what? As a believer, that bothers me. You know what it is? It's an offense.
They're going to come. But Christ here is not talking about what lost people do. Christ is talking about what saved people are doing. Well, saved people are not going to do those things. Oh, really? Some of the meanest people in this world that I know of are so-called believers. I would dare say this morning the most bitter people in all the world are saved people out of the will of God. And Christ says, boy, how you deal with this is very, very important. Now, he's talking about disciples, and I realize that he's kind of narrowing it down to some followers there, some very inner circles of the ministry of Christ, and I believe it applies to our church this morning, the ministry of God, the worldwide ministry that Christ has here on this earth. And he gives verse four, the first four verses here, and that's all he's given them so far. And in verse number five, the apostles stop him right there and where he's at and says, oh, Lord, increase our faith. May I say this morning that faith will be required or you will not be successful in this. You see, forgiveness is contrary to my human nature. My human nature, when somebody does me wrong, my human nature says, you get even. Right? I mean, our human nature, somebody hit you, then our nature is you hit them back. If somebody does you wrong, you get even. If somebody mistreats you, you disgrace them. You talk bad about them. You try to get even. You see, forgiveness, it's not natural to forgive this morning. I'll say, you know, you want to do something supernatural in life, learn to be a forgiving person because forgiveness is a supernatural aspect of life. It's not natural. You ever had anybody do you wrong? You ever had anybody cheat you? You ever had somebody just, I'll be honest with you, just rip you off in life? You ever had anybody do you like that? It's sometimes things pop in my mind. We had an awning put on our house. I paid a deposit on it in December. Company out of Owensboro. It was, you know, a pretty good-sized check. I don't know, it's a few thousand dollars deposit and so forth, and pretty big-sized job and so forth, and it took them 6 months to get to me. Now I was already a little bit disturbed after 6 months. That was deposit paid in December. They put it all up, rain comes, and guess what happened? It leaks. And I still hadn't gotten them back to repair it yet. And I called the guy the other day, and I said, listen, man, I'm not ugly, and I haven't been mad, and I haven't gotten upset, but I'm about to change. And I was mad, and I was upset, And I want to choke him, right? And I told him, I said, I tell you what, if it's not repaired by Friday, I'm going to sue you. I don't want to do that, but the only thing you leave me left to do is get a lawyer, take you to court, and get it fixed. Now, here's what's really, really bad. You know what the guy said? I'm sorry. I apologize. And I have not treated you right. He agreed to that. And said, he told me, I'll have you taken care of by such and such day. Now, I was fine. Until he said, what? I'm sorry. Now, then I got to make a decision. Now, either I'm going to be spiritual or worldly here. Right? You ever been here?
It's probably never happened to you, but I thought to myself, I've got to make a choice. Now, I have a battle raging inside of me where I know on the spiritual side, I need to do what? I need to do what? Forgive. And the other side of me says, you get ugly. And then you talk to a friend, and the friend says, well, the only way you're ever going to solve that, you're just going to have to get mean and get mad. That's what the world tells me to do. It's what my flesh tells me to do. And I'm not going to tell you how I responded. You can just kind of leave that up and kind of decide how. No, I didn't. I wasn't ugly so forth. But what I'm saying is, and I'm just using that as one example, and then I got to thinking about it. You know what? I find it very often in life where people are just, they're just, it's an offense in life. And as I go through this chapter here, it just reminded me of everything that just took place in my life just in the past week and so forth. And Christ here spends so much time on this area of forgiveness and how you as a believer react. Okay, so we find here verse 5. I've gotten off track here a little bit. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because we're going to need a lot of faith to live like this. This is not natural. This is not the way we've been doing business all of our life. This is a whole new aspect on how to live life, and this is not easy, and this is a tall order to live up to. And so we're going to ask, Lord, you've got to increase our faith. Why? Because it is not natural to forgive someone. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and saying, oh, I think it's real easy to forgive, you're probably not forgiving very much. It is a supernatural act. It is not something that happens natural in life. And listen, only faith in God will enable the believer to be able to forgive people that have offended them and sometimes have offended over and over and over and over. And naturally, your flesh is not going to want to forgive. And the only way you'll ever be a forgiving person is by the enabling of God in your life. He is our help. He is the only reason that we can forgive. And faith is going to be needed. You'll find in verse number 6, the very well-known verse here, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a what? A grain of a what? Mustard seed. You know the story, you know the scripture here. Mustard seed is an extremely small seed. What's Jesus saying here? You can forgive. And you can forgive again and again and again, all in one day, and again and again and again. If you just had just enough faith, about the size of a mustard seed. It also talks about how that if you had the faith of a mustard seed in verse number 7, you could basically say to a tree, you uprooted here and planted over here in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, let me ask you something this morning. How many of you have ever walked out into your yard and stood before a tree in your yard and said, I want you to uproot and plant over there, and it worked? Anybody ever had that happen? It's an example, and I understand that. Jesus Christ is using something that they're very familiar with to use an example here. You know, and you can read it however you want to. I kind of read it this way. It doesn't take just a whole lot of faith to be a forgiving person. And if you're not a forgiving person, it kind of shows you how little or lacking you are in faith. Because it really doesn't take a whole lot of faith to be able to forgive somebody of their wrong. When they repent and ask for forgiveness, we are to forgive them. So the disciples said, oh, Lord, you got to increase our faith. Christ talks about faith in verse number 6. And then verse number 7 is interesting because if you're not careful, your Bible will have probably a little division there. And it says a parable of service. And if you're not careful, you've got to keep your mind in track of what Christ is dealing with here. And he's going to talk about a servant. And Christ uses the example of the servant here, of how servants, and talking about in that day and age, it was a lot different back then than it is now, and I understand that. We don't have servants and slaves and things like that. But Christ says here that you need to be an example like a servant. A servant does their job. They do what they're told to do, and a servant would never expect praise and thanks for doing what is already expected of him to do. And what Christ is doing, he says, and by the way, when all this happens and the person asks for forgiveness, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be an offense in your life, please forgive me. You are to forgive them. And I don't care how many times Christ says, I don't care how many times you got to forgive them, you forgive them over and over and over again if that's what is needed. And then he says, and by the way, let me give you an example of a servant. He's using it and applying it to the disciple here or the apostle here and basically saying, after the end of the day, all this takes place and you forgive them 7 times, don't feel like you've done God a favor. Because Christ says that's just what's expected of you. You don't expect an applause. You don't expect a pat on the back or to put your name on some big sign somewhere saying that you forgave somebody over and over and over and over, because Christ, as you read through the chapter here, you'll find Christ expects you to live your life like that every single day of your life. Forgiveness. Something that is not natural, but supernatural. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray for your blessings upon the remainder of our day. And we pray that your will be done in this place and in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.